Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Kathy Love here. In our conversation today, I have got a bit of philosophy for you. So please keep listening, and I'll tell you how we ended up with the conversation about philosophy. It is not where I thought we would start, but it is where we ended up. So certainly across 2020, I have been doing a lot of extra and slightly different reading to what I would usually do, and lots of listening also. And I wanted to kind of bring a conversation to you about resilience, whatever that is. And I thought, right, well, I'm just going to go and have a bit of a look about what the research says and what thought leaders think and what businessy, leadershipy guru influencers sort of think. And I think that within about 30 seconds, I was completely distracted and just delightfully sliding down the rabbit hole of all sorts of great topics. And there was one topic that no matter where I clicked and where I went with my questioning, I ended back down the rabbit hole of stoicism. Stoicism, some of you may know it as. And I wonder when you hear, you know, about stoicism, what you think that is. I have been reading about this on and off for years now, and my reading about the early Stoics started a while back with a book called The Obstacle is the Way. I think I read it in about 2013 or maybe 2014, about then. And it's written by Ryan Holiday. Pretty sure that's correct. The Obstacle is the Way. You'll find it. It's an unusual title. Could be Ryan Holiday. Anyway, Ryan, please forgive me. He sort of gets into some of those Greek philosophers of a couple of thousand years ago, and the thinking around Stoicism really springs from those early thinkers of Seneca and Marcus Aurelius as well. So you might have come across their quotes in different places. And what I really enjoyed revisiting in the context of resilience is a reminder about what Stoicism actually is. And it underpins so much of what we currently think about in more modern times, but just kind of has different labels on it as well. So the four main virtues of Stoicism are wisdom, self-discipline, justice, and courage. And they are certainly words that I use a lot, and certainly the value of courage is very, very strong and personal to me, and it is one of our business values as well. The other part of Stoicism that is going to also be familiar is understanding and having comfort with understanding what you can control and, in fact, what you can't control. And this is about sort of understanding what you can be sort of emotionally affected by and what you can manage your responses to. And I think this is where my searching about resilience in COVID-19 kept coming back to. Was this notion that Stoicism has these four main principles, but also sits with belief structures around being able to understand and control what you do and do not respond to based on what you can control. So for the psychologists listening, your minds, I know, are already sparkling like crazy. And you are absolutely correct that stoicism and the concepts of locus of control are absolutely snuggled in together. So for a little bit of a refresher on what a locus of control is, it's something that I understand kind of started in the mid-50s with a psychologist who took a position that he believed that people could have control over the events that happened to them in their lives. And he kind of developed a bit of a continuum that people have an internal locus of control, where you believe that you are in control of your own life and your environment and your outcomes of the results of your own efforts and choices and decisions. And then sliding along to the other end of that continuum are people who have an external locus of control. And these people believe that your life is shaped by external forces that you have no influence over, such as chance, fate, or other people in positions of power. So imagine those two ends of the continuum. And absolutely understandably, most people fall between these two extremes. So hence it's a scale of external locus of control at one end, internal locus control at the other end. So let's just have a quick little look at the advantages of having an internal locus of control. Bear in mind, I do not have a master's or a PhD in this. This is just me pulling together some of my favorite reading topics that I have sort of tucked away across this pandemic year that we've had. So the advantages of having an internal locus of control is the ability to take responsibility for your own performance and to own your own actions and not be afraid to be held accountable for them. Whether there's a result of success at the end of them or even failure at the end of them. The ability to be self-motivated, that you believe things, you can make things happen for yourself. And that the way you work and the way you kind of operate will help shift obstacles and kind of help you get your goals done. You have a high degree of self-efficacy, and that belief you have in your ability to succeed, and that you're not just relying for things to fall into place. Whilst hope is somewhat different, you have a degree of autonomy about the way you can create your future. Be more receptive to feedback. You believe in the power of being able to change things for yourself based on suggestion and feed forward, as I like to call it, that you get from your environment, your team, other people, even your own personal reflection as well. And just a willingness to kind of invest in personal wellness, physical and mental health as well. So I'm not going to go right down the piece of internal locus of control. There is so much written on it, and it is so interesting. And it is so interesting to read about internal locus of control in parallel to leadership. And I know many business owners that I am certainly in touch with are working so hard on their personal leadership, on their team leadership, on their business leadership as well. So the internal locus of control really kind of sets you up with the foundation for being comfortable with being the boss of you, being the boss of your team, being the boss of your business as well. And it kind of gets us thinking about our time and the clock and how we own our time and how we can boss our time. It reminds us that we are responsible for our contacts and the people we work with and the networks that we work within. It reminds us that we have ownership of our communication, and we have responsibility for how we communicate and present our ideas, and also our commitments, that we have that personal integrity that if we say we're going to do something, there's a really, really, really strong chance that that is going to happen as well. So, I'll leave you to kind of explore this piece of internal locus of control. I want to take our conversation back to stoicism, because that's where we started. But to just put a gorgeous little bow on the internal locus of control, you are absolutely correct in thinking this sounds like CBT. You are absolutely correct in thinking that this is sounding a bit like cognitive restructuring. Yeah, it could be. Go and have a look at those topics all together. Locus of control, CBT, cognitive restructuring, even theory on optimism, and even theory on growth mindset all kind of comes into this wonderful spaghetti bolognese of how we manage ourselves and our minds and the way that we show up for ourselves, our families, and our teams as well. Oh, goodness, I'm thinking now that I perhaps need to do a podcast on locus of control. Let me know if you would like that to happen. Right, let's come back to Stoicism. Seneca, Aurelius, Greek, couple of thousand years ago. I'm just going to remind you of the four kind of constructs that they propose: wisdom, self-discipline, justice, and courage. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit about them. So let's kind of go with wisdom first. And wisdom is a little bit about lived experience, but it is also about the application of reason. It doesn't have quite have the mystical, in the Stoics' mind, it doesn't quite have the mystical component that you might have thought of from elsewhere as well. So, you know, this is just sitting with the belief that there is the need to explore truth in the world, and there is the need to understand the world and to share your understanding of truth and the way that the world works as well. Self-discipline is kind of required to overcome impulsivity, I think would be a word, or irrational kind of desires or sort of flightiness. I don't know how that sits with creativity, you know. I think that's an interesting one. For me, that's one I'm not quite around as yet. Justice means managing all of our relationships with a commitment to fairness and duty. Fairness is very, very important to me and a big part of justice and that sort of Stoic thinking as well. And courage is required to help us overcome our fears and to sort of be able to be comfortable with our fears, to almost embrace fears. I have a bit of a personal belief that it's not very helpful to fight fear and to control fear. I actually think that fear is a really, really valid, really helpful, really guiding emotion, and that it is one to be worked with rather than fought against and banished. Anyway, that was my little soapbox moment on that one. So courage is essential to help us manage those fears, those irrational fears, those obstacles that perhaps feel insurmountable as well. So what really caught my eye back in the day when I kind of got into some Greek philosophy and the work of the Stoics was that they are disciplines of meditation and reflection, and that they are journalers, that journaling and note-taking and drawing and mapping and documenting your thoughts is the way to go. And really, they had me at journaling. Let it be said, they absolutely had me at journaling. So who knew that journaling's just thousands of years old? I'm sure that they didn't have beautiful fancy notebooks and amazing pens and colours and things that I have now, but it is about capturing thoughts, exploring thoughts with pen and paper as well. Another interesting part of Stoicism that I've also enjoyed reading about is the way that they encourage visualization of thought. Okay, and there's two different sort of parts to this. Many of you know that I am incredibly visual. My whole world is visual. You should see my screens in front of me now as I am recording this. And I think these guys were onto something really, really early about the need to visualize thinking and the need to visualize workflow, which is what I'm just such a big fan of at the moment as well. So that really resonated for me as well. But there's something that they also came up with that I hadn't until recently pinned to this resilient stoic thinking, and that is negative visualizations. Now, for those of you that follow the work of Tim Ferriss, I'm sure many of you will be familiar with him. He has a video on YouTube, and I'm just not going to get the name of it completely correct, but it is about fear setting. So rather than goal setting, Tim, on the back of his understanding of, I suspect, Stoicism, has actually talked about fear setting. And a few years ago, with one of my mentors, I did some fear setting where you actually set negative goals. You actually set a goal of the worst possible thing that could happen to you. And that meant that you were somewhat aware of it, and you knew what shape it was, you knew the impact of it, and that you had it out of your head and it existed. And the basis of it, as I understand it, is that anything would be better than that, and that it actually helps you understand that, yeah, well, that could possibly happen. Now I know what to do to prevent that negative fear from coming to fruition as well. So if this is just capturing your imagination, go and have a look at Tim Ferriss, maybe just not for a couple of minutes. Kind of stay with me through to the end of my my rambling conversation about the Stoics. I can't even say the word, Stoicism. But yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I loved my fear setting session and just gave me amazing perspective on what I was doing and what I was, where I was going, and the activities that I was doing in my business were actually preventative, if you like. So super, super interesting, super, super interesting on that as well. So just a quick check-in on these four main areas: wisdom, self-discipline, justice, courage. I would love you to think, what do you think about those words? What does wisdom mean for you? And how does wisdom show up in the way you do life and business? How does self-discipline show up for you in the way you do life and business? What about justice? How does justice show up? I suspect many of you as allied health professionals have really got a strong sense of justice. Kind of makes sense with the work we do. But how does it show up? How does justice and fairness show up in your business? And the last one, courage. Where is your courage barometer right now? How does courage show up in your personal life? How does courage show up in your business life? Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Absolutely interesting. So there are some benefits of Stoicism. And I guess to sort of touch on these, not wanting to kind of paint a broad brushstroke with this, but you know, there are pros and cons for kind of embracing these principles. Stoicism provides a sense of rationality and being able to take an objective view of problems or challenges. It can also help in identifying difficult situations, necessary conversations, and it can just bring a little bit of perspective with just a little bit of calm and measured emotional response. There is still emotional response, but it is measured and managed to be able to bring some calm, objectivity, and some solution-focused thinking to a complex situation. So the calmness is part of what is super, super useful at the moment in 2020 as well. I think there's also a calm, resolved resilience and a quiet strength, and almost a strength in a gentleness and a patience around this sort of work of the Stoics as well. There is a morality And I think that that spins off from the sense of justice and fairness as well, and that there is often a very strong moral compass that is adhered to, and questions are asked of that moral compass and decisions made in the context within those treasured values as well. And there's also, I guess, you know, a certain profile of emotional intelligence. Now, I'm going to try not to talk about emotional intelligence. I really want to do that on another podcast. I think I need to find a couple of people I know who specialize in this. But if we sort of think about Stoic philosophy, if we think about external, internal locus of control, if we think about CBT, if we think about those principles of Stoicism, it actually makes complete sense that emotional intelligence is very much part of this, and there is a particular profile of strengths across that piece of work. So if you're wanting to kind of round out the learning here from this rambling conversation, have a bit of a Google of Stoicism, get into locus of control, think about how they support how you show up in your real life, how you show up in business, think about how they show up in your leadership, and whether there are some insights you can draw from that to enhance your business management and your team leadership as well. Think about the value of time for reflection. Think about the value of time for journaling as well, and how all of this sits in emotional intelligence. There is just hours of incredible, powerful reading up there on the interwebs about all of those topics. So I am done with my wanderings here. Thank you for letting me just kind of bend the airwaves on this one. Super, super interested in this stuff. So if you're interested and if this kind of lights you up, let me know. Jump into my calendar and we won't get too philosophical. We will always bring it back to application to business, but there's some really good learning sitting outside of our allied health world and in the minds of some of those incredible, incredible ancient and also now contemporary thinkers as well. All righty. I'm just going to leave you to ponder Greek philosophy. Enjoy. But bring it back to you and bring it back to your beautiful business. Okay. Leaving you with it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.